Blog Talk Radio. Breaking news.
Ushering in a new era. On the morning of September 11, 2001, 19 men armed with box cutters directed by a man on dialysis in a cave fortress halfway around the world using a satellite phone and a laptop directed the most sophisticated penetration of the most heavily defended airspace in the world, overpowering the passengers and the military combat trained pilots on four commercial aircraft before flying those planes wildly off course for over an hour without being molested by a single fighter interceptor. These 19 hijackers, devout religious fundamentalists who like to drink alcohol, snort cocaine, and live with pink-haired strippers, managed to knock down three buildings with two planes in New York. While in Washington, a pilot who couldn't handle a single-engine Cessna was able to fly a 757 in an 8,000-foot descending 270-degree corkscrew turn to come exactly level with the ground, hitting the Pentagon in the budget analyst office where DOD staffers were working on the mystery of the $2.3 trillion that Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld had announced missing from the Pentagon's coffers in a press conference the day before, on September 10, 2001. Luckily, the news anchors knew who did it within minutes.
Osama bin Laden.
The pundits knew within hours.
Osama bin Laden.
The administration knew within the day.
Terrorists who committed these acts and those who harbor them.
And the evidence literally fell into the FBI's lap.
That a hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
But for some reason, a bunch of crazy conspiracy theorists demanded an investigation into the greatest attack on American soil in history. That investigation was delayed, underfunded, set up to fail, a conflict of interest, and a cover-up from start to finish. It was based on testimony extracted through torture, the records of which were destroyed. It failed to mention the existence of WTC-7, Able Danger, PTEC, Sibel Edmonds, OBL and the CIA, and the drills of hijacked aircraft being flown into buildings that were being simulated at the precise same time that those events were actually happening. It was lied to by the Pentagon, the CIA, the Bush administration, and as for Bush and Cheney, well, no one knows what they told it because they testified in secret, off the record, not under oath, and behind closed doors. It didn't bother to look at who funded the attacks because that question is ultimately of little practical significance. Still, the 9/11 Commission did brilliantly, answering all of the questions the public had, except most of the victims' family members' questions, and pinned blame on all the people responsible, although no one so much as lost their job, determining the attacks were
failure of imagination.
Because
nobody in our government, at least, and I don't think the prior government that could envision flying airplanes into buildings.
Except the Pentagon, FEMA, NORAD, and the NRO. The DIA destroyed 2.5 terabytes of data on Able Danger, but that's okay because it probably wasn't important. The SEC destroyed their records on the investigation into the insider trading before the attacks, but that's okay because destroying the records of the largest investigation in SEC history is just part of routine record keeping. NIST has classified the data that they used for their model of WTC-7's collapse, but that's okay because knowing how they made their model of the collapse would jeopardize public safety. The FBI has argued that all material related to their investigation of 9/11 should be kept secret from the public, but that's okay because the FBI probably has nothing to hide. This man never existed, nor is anything he had to say worthy of your attention, and if you say otherwise, you are a paranoid.
All right, War of the Words, Relentless Radio, Cerebral Sundays, man, giving you a little opening show flavor today with my man Blake Rice, and bring him on just to say, oh, UFC Hall of Famer ref. Let me make sure I throw that in there. I don't want him to get sad. First off, I just wanted to give a shout out real quick before we get cracking. Source Summit Fight Store, ssfightstore.com. Make sure to check them out. And then Rehydrate, soon to be Fight Medic, but still Rehydrate. Type that into the old book face. I don't know why I said it like that. First time I ever said it. But good on the air is as good a time as any. So let's get it rolling, man. Blake Grice, what's going on with it, brother?
Man, you know it. Listen, what a coincidence. That audio clip that you played was titled 9/11 Conspiracy Theory in Under 5 Minutes. I've listened to it 100 times. And I actually went and found the transcript for it, and I was going to read you about 2/3 of that at the start of the show. Because that is the best summary of what supposedly happened that day that I've ever seen in investigating this since it happened.
Well, you know what? That's good that you did that, because I think we can take some of these pieces, and I'd like to, man, and step into them a little bit further, because I think there's several like parts of this that each are really interesting. The first to me is the inside trading part that happened right beforehand. All the inside trading that happened just before. Can you break a little bit of that down? Is that a part of what you have over there?
That was just a coincidence, right?
Yeah, well, of course it was. I mean, the thing about this coincidence is when you have 50 in a row, I mean, that's my favorite kind.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, 9/11 is just full of coincidences. You're talking $2.3 trillion with a T, trillion dollars that Donald Rumsfeld had announced missing the day before, and that happened to be where the quote unquote plane hit the Pentagon that destroyed that. So it's just one coincidence after the other with insider trading, with passports floating down to the ground. You know, you name it. This is something that has bothered me since the day it happened. I was 25 years old. I was working in Greenville, South Carolina. I watched it happen live on TV, and it bothered
me.
President
Bush watched it live on TV. I believe he said a few months after happened, although we know. Do you remember that?
I think he said something like he watched the first plane go into the towers live, which was obviously a lie. And then, he remained in that classroom for like 8 more minutes while his country was under attack.
Well, it was a good book. He's like, shut up, I got to find out what happens to the duck.
No, it was a goat. It was My Pet Goat, I think, was the book, if I'm not mistaken. That's what he was reading. It's just one lie after the other, man. You know, and I don't, like, I'm not one of these guys that comes off, I'm not a full-blown conspiracy theorist per se. You know, like, I mean, you know, I've got opinions on a lot of other things, but it's not something that rules my life. I don't have a tinfoil hat or anything like that. But 9/11, it just never made sense to me. And we can dig into some points if you want to, or whatever you want to do, but none of it makes sense.
I've always been one of these guys that when I entertain the conspiracy theories, because there's so much coincidence, I agree too, man. And, you know, like the government is certainly not, you know, has the best track record on telling it like it is. But I've always kind of been favored the bomb theory that, you know, it was laced up. There was a lot of evidence, I thought, from the parts, you know, with the steel melting and them comparing the temperatures at a plane could produce at max versus what it takes for the girders to be melted like they were found. And I remember the janitor and some other guys that, you know, came forward and were talking about feeling explosions at basement level and stuff beforehand. And yeah, have you ever seen some of the bomb side of that, of the conspiracy?
I've seen it all, and I guess that's the one I got to go for. But let me back up. On 9/11/2001, I was watching it live, and there was a camera at one of the towers before the collapse, and I heard secondary explosions. There was nanothermite found in the dust at Ground Zero, and that stuff does not just make itself, you know, on the way down from a collapse. That's not something that is just going to appear. You mentioned the firefighters and all that. Dude, there was literally hundreds of firefighters. And there's actually a video on YouTube of firefighters talking about the bombs. There's hundreds that gave testimony to bombs and explosions that was totally ignored by the commission. But explosions in the lobby down. There's also hundreds of firefighters that witnessed molten metal that was also ignored by the commission. They said, like,
I've
we were
seen
in
videos
a steel foundry. It was flowing like lava.
Yes, I just got done, matter of fact, earlier, you know, prepping for the show, which is actually something I rarely do, but I knew you were going to bring the thunder. And although I am I'm a pretty moderate conspiracy guy, I don't wear the tinfoil hat, but I do have it on the rack. So
yeah,
I do wear it.
Yeah, you have to, dude. You have to. If we look back at our government, you can look at things that used to be called conspiracy theories, like the Gulf of Tonkin or Operation Northwoods. You know, the Gulf of Tonkin was an admitted false flag that launched us into the Vietnam War. And Operation Northwoods, for those of you that don't know, it's declassified documents proving that the Joint Chiefs had wanted to create terror attacks in the United States against our citizens and blame Cuba to go into a war. And luckily, Kennedy didn't go for it, and you know whatever happened to him. But it's a fact that the United States government wanted to do false terror attacks to launch us into a war. That's a fact. The people think that no way they would do it. Now I'm going, why would they not? Why would they not?
I would have to agree with you there, because the reasonings and things that were going on with Iraq at the time, it came at such – another fun coincidence, might I add. It came at such a perfect time that it was like a free ticket to say, well, now we don't really need an exact reason. We're just gonna go ahead and do all these things. I mean, it really was an open door. If you think about it in the position of people who we say we might accuse of being a part of this, 9/11 was beneficial in many ways to those very same individuals.
Oh, of course it was.
That's an interesting
thing. I mean, Bush was able to go back into the war that his father didn't finish. How many billions have been made by by certain companies? But how many thousands of troops have died over there fighting this war against these guys that I think had nothing to do with 9/11? And don't take that the wrong way. I'm as pro-military as you can be.
Absolutely.
That day did was that all rallied us behind the government. We were all flying American flags and holding hands and going to church and saying, yeah, let's go to war. Let's get these guys. Looking back, they were right there in front of us.
I could not agree more. And I want a little story, as a matter of fact. I went to college for American history, United States history, and I guess Anglo in a way. Just to tell my original plan was to tell history a little more like it was, a little more fair than how the textbooks around me, especially with in high school, would put things out there like that. And one of the things that I constantly came across in learning, I guess, a little more realistic versions of things is that a lot of those elements that we talk about in 9/11 have happened. You mentioned one earlier. They go on and on and on. I mean, I would even consider the Sons of Liberty to be a domestic terrorist cell. And on your other point about 9/11 and rallying people, I would say also that I have never been a like ultra patriot. Of course, I'm very proud part of a citizen to be here and all that good stuff. But I'm not like running around with an American flag. But 9/11, 9/12, 9/13. I was ready to sign military contracts. I was ready to get a gun. I was ready to buy a flag and go kick some ass. And I am the least likely person to be that way. But I tell you what, it was that powerful that even – and I'm sure there's people that are even further than myself from that we were all – it worked. If that was the goal, then we would call it success. Would we not?
Of course, dude. I know people that enlisted just because of that. It was the ultimate act to drum up patriotism. And people died because of it. You're right. If that was the goal, it worked. It immensely worked to get the nation behind a government to go to war. It worked. And sadly enough, we're still at war there. And the United States isn't very good at war. If you look in our past as far as winning wars, it worked, man. It worked like a charm.
It most certainly. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you go ahead. You go first.
I was going to put in that a couple of years ago when this was going on, I guess, God, I'm getting old now. Back in the day, Vincent Bugliosi wrote an awesome book on the assassination of JFK and the conspiracy theories around that, which I highly enjoyed. He was an attorney for the Charles Manson case as well. He wrote a book called The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder, and it basically was a book that was a prosecution case against the president for the false pretenses, and it had a lot of this 9/11 stuff in it, for to charge him with the murder of these soldiers that were sent out for these causes that were false. And it was a pretty riveting read, brother. I can tell you that. Definitely so.
If I said the word smoking gun on 9/11, does anything come to mind for you? Like, does anything stand out as crazier than the others?
I think one of the biggest things that has always stood out to me about 9/11 was the hole in the Pentagon versus the size of the plane, the lack of plane parts, no wing damage. That side of the building had been reinforced. That whole part of it to me sticks out more than anything.
How about, and that's the Pentagon is my number one. Number two is World Trade Center 7, which collapsed in free fall speed and was never hit by a plane. There was some fire, but keep in mind, a fire has never brought down a building in the history of the world, except on 9/11 and 3 came down. The biggest smoking gun there is Larry Silverstein, who owned them all, is on camera saying, "We're just going to pull it. The loss was too much. We're just going to pull it," which is a demolition term for to bring it down. And they did. And they still say that that didn't happen and that that building fell from natural causes. That's insane. If you believe that, it's just insane, dude.
Not only did that building fall and another building fall next to it with two planes in it, and let's just throw all the stuff in it, bombs, everything. Let's just put it all together. And passports to prove that the bad guys were who the government said they were floated down nice and gently unscathed to the street where they were, you know, immediately found by the right individuals within the hour or two. It's very impressive. I wish they had more common stuff like fix my roads with that kind of speed.
I'm not telling you I know exactly what happened on 9/11, okay? A couple of people do. But what I am telling you is that the official government story is nearly impossible to believe. Going back to the Pentagon, the FBI confiscated 84 of 85 videos. There's not one picture of a plane. There's a flash, and there's this white thing coming in. And have you ever looked at a picture of a plane crash and then compare that? And also compare it to Flight 93, which was in Pennsylvania. There's no plane there, man. There's no fuselage. There's no the landing gears and the engines are made by like Rolls Royce. They're indestructible. They do think that we've seen a turbine from a missile maybe at the Pentagon is what some people say. No, look at that. That's a jet engine. It was too small for that. But even the fact that there's groups like Pilots for 9/11 Truth that say there's just no way that plane can be flown that low to the ground. It just doesn't work. And it didn't even touch the grass, dude. The grass was fine, and there was no damage where the wings would have hit. The windows were intact. It was a perfectly round 18-foot circle. That's insane.
Oh, yeah. And one of the, just to keep the theme of the show, conspiracy theories that I've favored on that topic has been the one that I've seen that feels the most realistic to me is the idea that they had basically fighter jets fly over and fire a missile into the side of the building and keep on riding. And because I've seen the same tapes that you're talking about where you see kind of a white plane sort of thing and then a flash and that's it. And it's so choppy. Like I used to work for a surveillance company back in the day, and I used to watch old busted gas station style, feeds, and they were better than anything put forward by anyone. I mean, anyone, really. Sure. There were no turbines. There were no – I remember the thing about Rumsfeld out there saying he was on ground level helping take people out.
Give me a break, dude. Yeah. Not to mention there were war games. Like always when things happen in the United States, there's also like a – a simulation of that same event happening the same day that happened at Sandy Hook, that happened at the Boston bombing. Dick Cheney was in charge of NORAD that day, running war games for that scenario. That's, remember him giving the stand down order, and they've got him on audio saying, "Of course the order still stands. Have you heard anything?" It's just insane. If that, what a coincidence. There's another coincidence, right? They're running war games for attacks like that. Have you seen the video on YouTube of the black cab driver at the Pentagon?
I have. I saw that one and the one with the firefighter. They interview him like 20, 30 times. He always wears like the Marine hat.
Yeah.
Both those guys make strong points. But go ahead with the taxi guy, because I like this one.
Well, the taxi guy, it was something with – there's a guy in the cab talking to this guy, and he's secretly videotaping him. And they're talking about that day, and the guy basically admits that, hey, you know, this is way over my head. I can't talk about it. And there's pictures of his taxi cab, like, facing both ways, like, staged, and where the wings of the plane supposedly chopped down the light posts. And he admits that this is way over my head. I've got to be careful. The most damning piece of video that I've ever seen was the movie Loose Change. I don't know if you've seen that. Loose Change episode.
It's a good one.
It's a great one. If somebody is listening to this and they think we're crazy or that I'm crazy, if you take 90 minutes and watch the movie Loose Change, it would be almost impossible to think that the government story was true, because it's not, they're not, see, to me, this isn't a conspiracy theory. We're just putting together facts, right? We're going, this doesn't make sense. And Lewis Chains lays it out there, man, like, better than you could ever believe. And that's the number one thing that I would listen to. If you don't know anything about 9/11, and I think a lot of people, they don't know better. Like, I spend a lot of time in the car going to fights, you know, and I take guys from my gym and stuff, and we'll start talking about this, and I ask them about it, and they go, well, I don't know. I mean, I've never really thought about it. And I think that's what the government plans on us doing, is just, I don't know. Even my own mother was like, oh, I've never thought about it. I guess just, you know, those guys did it, and it's just as the government says. And I think that's a scary thing.
I could not agree more. I always found it interesting that there was a connection between the time the government generally allows for documents to be released and the natural lifespan of a human. They go pretty similar in to this idea, like, ah, well, most of the people will be dead, and by then we'll be able to black all this stuff out, and we'll be good to go. And I think that they agree on that. And I'm going to pause right here. For our little breaky break, we got 3 minutes of good jams from my friend Joseph Coker, an awesome BJJ guy. He's also a stand-up comic and plays music. Wow, breaking it out. He plays out here in Charleston. Got a song from him. It's called Heartbreak Teleprompter. Blake, hang on with us, brother, and we'll be back in just a second, man. This is Joseph Coker with Heartbreak Teleprompter, jamming it out. Fourth grade, we learn about girls, and then ever since
heartbreak, heartbreak, teleprompter. You got a heartbreak, heartbreak, teleprompter. Want me to read it, read it, saying I don't love you, but I don't wanna break up. No, I don't wanna break up. No, you got a heartbreak, heartbreak, teleprompter. You got a heartbreak, heartbreak, teleprompter. Want me to read it, say it. I love you, but I don't wanna break up. No, I don't wanna break up. Oh, you got a heartbreak. You got a heartbreak.
Alright, everybody, that was Heartbreak Teleprompter by my friend Joseph Coker, whose voice is so sweet it makes me angry. It's like two angel wings rubbing together. I'm going to go ahead and bring Blake Rice back on. What's up, Blake?
I dig that song.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Where can we find that song?
Absolutely, man. You can go to SoundCloud, I believe this one was on. You can type in Joseph Coker. He also does a podcast with people in Charleston who do stand-up comedy. They do musical acts. He really kind of covers a lot of that local flavor. And you can find music such as Heartbreak Teleprompter and a lot of other cool music of his that we will be playing all week long. So definitely check that out, man. He's a great guy. And he loves martial arts and competes, so you can't, you know. I mean, what's not
right
to love?
I feel like I could do stand up comedy.
I feel like you could too. I feel like sometimes you are doing. I feel like it's there.
Yeah. Most of the times I'm doing it anyway. Even as I'm saying fight, I'm trying to be funny. And you know, I think back. I don't know if I'm trying to be. I think that's just my personality. But I don't know if I could get up in front of a crowd and do that, man. That's like, that takes some balls.
Wait, so being Blake Rice and, you know, stepping into the UFC octagon to ref a fight, that's no thing. But going into a smoky bar with a mic in front of 12 people is a problem.
To be perfectly honest, I don't get nervous at fights. But before I ref the UFC last time, I was nervous. I was anxious. I don't know if nervous is the word. I've done a lot of things, man. You know, I've done a lot of crazy things in my life. But I was definitely anxious for that. I think I would have a fear of failure with the stand-up comedy. I wouldn't want people not to laugh. I mean, like, when I watch stand-up comedy that's not funny, it makes me cringe. I have to cut it off. If they're getting booed, I can't watch it. I'm embarrassed for them.
Yes, association embarrassment. I get this too, man. Same thing with, like, awful karaoke. Like, man, I have to go outside or something. Or, like,
Yes.
You know, like, woo, I got to leave. Like, I know that some people find the bad karaoke really funny. And I guess since I don't drink a lot, I don't ever get to that juncture. So, to me, it's always like, oh, sweet goodness,
I've been to shows before. I've been to shows where they were going to have, like, a band play, like, after the fights, and I knew that nobody was going to stay, and so I left early so I didn't have to see anybody not staying, if that makes sense.
No, that makes total sense. And you know what's something that doesn't make sense that we're going to do anyway that I think will be fun? And then we're going to jump back into this, man, because I got some more questy questions for you, bro. So there's this little company out here is fantastic. They're called Tires for Hire, and we're going to do a commercial together, improv style. Are you ready for this?
All right, hang on. I got a mouthful of food. Hang on.
I
didn't know if you wanted me to do a Big Roy's muffler commercial.
Oh,
we're going Tire for Hire.
And you know what? Here's what I was thinking. Feel me out on this, man. So you're going to hear the sweet, sweet jingle of my commercial music, and I'm gonna break out the first part of this, and then I'm gonna throw it over to you, and you take it from there, man. And I think you got this.
Oh my gosh!
I think we're ready.
But I don't even know what Tire for Hire is. You want me just to really wing it that much?
Here's what I'm thinking. By the time I get done talking with my piece, you'll be informed.
Hey, go for it. I can do anything.
Boom. See? There's what I got. And in that case, you know what? I could not agree more. Tires for Hire, man. You heard us talking about it. 5323 Rivers Avenue, North Charleston. You can call them at 843-789-3322. They do alignments. They fix flat tires, tire rotations, tire balancing, any kind of front-end service, brakes and more. They got used tires for $50, man, and all kinds of package deals. They will take care of you. And no one knows more about taking care of cars like Big Roy. And we got him here. Tell him, Big Roy.
No, this is not Big Roy. This is Blake Rice, Big Roy's number one customer. Folks, 843-789-3322. Tires for Hire. You know you've got tread soil on that front left tire. You know it needs changing. You don't want to go to Walmart and spend $89. Go get it for $35 installed. Tell them Blake sent you.
It's it. Tires for Hire, man. I'm sure they'll love it. You know what's cool, man, is I hear they got this video coming out where they're going to do like a whole entire car rotation in like 60 seconds. They're going to try.
Listen,
I hear this.
I feel like I did pretty good there. I even memorized the phone number.
Dude, you slayed it. Like, you slayed it so hard, I was like, dang, I should have just said Blake Rice. Like, man.
I thought for some reason that we were going to have to do an on-the-air Big Roy's commercial, so I thought of one of those, too, because I didn't want to get caught off guard.
You know what? I think that there's still time to do a Big Roy's. When we get to the end, I do have a second commercial music, and we will totally bust this out. I will play it for you and let you kill it. I'm so ready for that. Now I'm even twice as excited. So we're talking about that for you guys just tuning in, man. We're talking about 9/11 and conspiracies. I actually had a buddy of mine was like, so listen, let me get this right. You're going to be on a show about conspiracies. You're going to say the word government a lot. It's going to be about 9/11, and your logo is Guy Fawkes. That's going to work out.
Remember the 5th of November. I'm looking at, as we speak, coincidentally, I am looking at that mask hanging on my son's wall in his bedroom.
This is, this is all the more reason why we have, why we've come to this place today, man, and talking about, I wanted to definitely remind everybody, just before the sweet honey of Joseph Coker lulled us all, we were discussing loose change. So you guys can actually go on YouTube. I'm 99% sure that it isn't on YouTube.
It is,
you can
absolutely
check us out. And boom, there it is. And I know it's also on Netflix too. So make sure to check that out, because I'd have to agree with Blake. It definitely is one of those movies. When it first starts out, you might be thinking, nah, here's another one of these like hacky internet kind of deals, but let it roll, man, because it plays compelling video, compelling art, the evidence is so strong that it overrides any sort of, I would actually trust it less if it was like James Cameron style, you know, like,
right.
It's so real.
It's so unbelievably real, and it will change the way you think about that day, your country, and your government. No matter what, it'll change the way you think. I promise you, it's the most compelling movie I've ever watched in my life.
There's another one, and I don't mean to fade off the 9/11, but it's still a conspiracy. One of my other favorite ones is about the original moon landing, and there's one out there called I think it's called Going to the Moon, I want to say. And they've got this piece in it where they're showing old footage from the first flight. And Buzz and these guys are doing is they're practicing faking being very far away from the moon. They don't explain why, so we're just left to assume reasons. But they do show, and it is legit film, they do show Buzz and them cutting out a piece of paper, and you can see that the moon is, or the Earth is covering the entire window, because they're just in orbit. You know, they're still very close. And
right.
The idea is that they're going to turn out all the lights in the cabin, and they're going to put this piece of paper on the top right part of the porthole so that you get that fade. And that is what later, I'm sure you've seen it, the famous picture that they took of being far away from the Earth, and the Earth is like in total blackness. And, yeah, and it's actually a video of them practicing doing this from right there. They also go into Buzz Aldrin, you know, these interesting, like, the first guy to, you know, walk on the moon, sure didn't ever have too much to say about it ever, how moon rocks are so hard to actually find to get your hands on, and you would think they'd be, you know, well kept instead of, you know, everywhere and at garage sales and stuff. But that's a good one too, man. So you guys out there looking for those filmy films, tune into that one as well, which I'm pretty sure is also on YouTube. YouTube is such a great place, man. Now, granted,
it is,
you know, you can't get sucked into those crates. You got to have the eye. And Blake, I know you got the eye. You got the eye in MMA and for the fights. I know you got it on YouTube. You got to watch out for the overtly ridiculous ones like Chupacabra found on 6th Street.
Yeah, dude. I'm
careful.
Once
you start clicking in conspiracy.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't listen, man.
This one here.
I don't believe in Bigfoot or any of that crap, okay? I'm talking about things of evidence. You know, Chupacabra, give me a break. That's a dog with no hair. They got running down the road in Mexico. They want you to believe it's a Chupacabra, whatever that is. The moon landing, I'm not an expert on, but it sure is weird. I mean, I know the reasons why we would have faked it. I know Kennedy promised to land on the moon before the end of the decade. You know, it was the height of the Cold War. We wanted to get there before the Russians, da-da-da-da-da. And none of that stuff makes sense either. The lighting, the flag fluttering in the wind, none of that makes sense. And it's like, I only need one piece of evidence to go, okay, that's silly. The flag's flowing. Why is it doing that? We could stop there. Why is it doing that?
Yeah, I'm with you 100% on that. I felt that way when one of the interesting facts is that the Soviet Union at that time during the space race, they beat us at every single other piece of this except going to the moon. And this is kind of a two-part interesting thing. First being, you know, they put the first satellite in orbit. They put the first person in orbit. They put the first life form in orbit. They did all these accomplishments, and then we landed on the moon. And then since then, no one but us has been able to go. And I've always found that fact. Those facts, again, like you say, there's just in what I said, there's like six things that we could have stopped on before we got to the next one. Like, well, hold on a second. That doesn't make sense. How do we go from last place to first place, like bing, bang, boom? I just read recently, if I'm not mistaken, it was I think it's China. Maybe in Japan. I feel like that's such a horrible thing to say, but I'm literally only saying that because of their proximity. That is planning a 2020 flight to the moon, and I think to myself, man, they're making such a giant deal about going to the moon in 2020 when we apparently did it with microwave technology from 1968.
Right, makes you go firm. You know, it's like with any of these theories. I don't need a mountain of evidence. Once you say nanothermite was found in the rubble of 9/11, that's it. We can stop right there and just talk about that. We don't need to all the passport floating and the temperatures and all that is kind of secondary. When you come up on a big key point, like why was nanothermite there? Why was this flag floating in the wind like that? Why were there multiple shadows? It makes you go, huh? I'm not a moon landing expert, let me say this also. I don't know what direction you're going with the show, but there's a couple of conspiracy theories. Well, there's really one that I don't like to talk about, that being Sandy Hook. I would talk about it off record, but anything that's dealing with children bothers me, you know. If children died or if they were used for some reason to set up this grand thing, it bothers me a lot. And so I lay off of that one. There's a lot about that one that smells really bad. But it's not something that I would have talk about for 30 minutes. Do you agree with that? Does that make sense, I should say?
No, it makes perfect sense. That's kind of one of those in-house discussions for sure. You know, certainly one of note, no doubt. But you know, to me, these things like 9/11, the further we get away from it. Are you good over there? That's Jeanette, by the way, everybody, coughing. She's a tender lady. The stuff, you know, when your government, like you said earlier, it gets to a point where when you can come at something, this tends to happen with lies, right? You know, somebody tells you a lie. At first, you find one little angle on it, and you're like, well, this what if? And then there's two, and then suddenly there's like 40. And then it kind of becomes irrelevant which one of them is actually the truth, because you have so many possibilities. And that really doesn't happen when you have actual facts. Possibilities sort of kind of fall to the wayside, at least in this sense, when you're dealing with something like this. So that's really the point that I get to, is that, you know, you and I can have an hour-long discussion, whether we're talking about the black boxes kept in secret, whether we're talking about the traits beforehand, Bin Laden tapes, or any of that, the stuff that I played at the very beginning, a lot of that stuff. No matter which one we go to, we still come back to that, like you said, that, huh, you know, that doesn't line up. This isn't one of those crazy conspiracies like when you're seeing Ahmadinejad tell you that the Holocaust was pretend. You know, this has a lot of legit pieces to it.
Yeah, dude, I think the Holocaust obviously happened. I mean, I've never even looked into that one.
Yeah, it's silly.
9/11 is just so alarming. It is just so overwhelmingly alarming that I just can't get past it. Hey, let me ask you a question. Do you think that that SEAL team killed Bin Laden in Pakistan and they dumped his body into the ocean? Do you think that happened?
I'm inclined to say no, and this is why. This is why I say this. And these are the guys that died. Like, most of them died a little bit later in a plane crash, if I'm not mistaken.
Also. Yeah, the whole team's dead.
All right, so here's where I'm going to go with that. Great place to start, right? So here's my thoughts on that. First off, I go back to Saddam Hussein. Now, when they got Saddam Hussein, this dude was everywhere. I couldn't turn a corner anywhere without seeing Saddam Hussein on the TV, on the news, printed in something, talking somewhere. I mean, I even saw – I'm not the type of guy to go out of my way to watch verbosely grotesque videos. I'm not a internet gory dude. But I did see Saddam Hussein being hung, and I think a lot of people who don't go searching for that kind of stuff saw it pretty readily, easily.
Yeah.
Or least. Yeah. So, but what we didn't see was that same thing, and it's odd to me that someone who, you know, supposedly committed a much more atrocious crime, and much more directly, as a matter of fact, on home soil, I mean, the ultimate sin here in the United States, as we put it, at least military-wise, that we just got him and no one took pictures, there's no video, and they just kind of threw him over the side, and then, well, what do you know, all the guys who did it are also dead? I mean, it sounds to me like maybe someone got a fax that said, Osama bin Laden's dead or died 5 years ago, so here's the new story. I mean, I don't know. That's me, dude. That answers the question.
But the fact is, bin Laden was on dialysis in Afghanistan before 9/11. And for me, we can kind of stop there and go, okay, well, do the math, the number of years afterwards that raid supposedly happened for a man that was on dialysis in the year 2000 in Afghanistan. I mean, he's not sitting at the Mayo Clinic. You know, he's in a cave somewhere, supposedly. So that right there is my starting point of where I go, okay, hang on a minute. That doesn't make sense. I don't know, man.
Yeah, you would
– pretty crazy.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. You would think that someone – I mean, you watch World Star videos every day. You would think somebody would take a picture or make some video. It's kind of historic. Even if they weren't going to show it to us, we've had no indication that it's there. It's not like they're like, yo, listen, man, we got to hold on to this for a while because it's sensitive. No one wants to, like, blatantly parade around. You know, we're not that country. We're not going to walk around the streets. Like, yeah, I hope not. You know, we murdered someone. I mean, in a way, it was kind of weird. Granted, I feel it. If we're blaming it on bin Laden, then yay, get the bad guy. But that day, a couple of time frame there where it was like, there were a lot of people like, hell yeah, bin Laden's dead. We killed his fucking ass. It was kind of weird for me. Like, I'm not a supporter of anything of any nature like that, but it was weird to see people so like a little slightly primitive in a way, like, yeah, kick that ass, murder that
bastard. Why? Because they bought into the story that bin Laden did 9/11.
Yes. That's where I was going.
It all goes back to that, man.
Yes, and I think because I do not buy it 100%, therefore
right.
I did not feel this innate like hatred for this old dude. We had many differences, did bad stuff. Not trying to say I'm pro bin Laden, but I mean, damn, I didn't have this need to see him drug through the streets, I guess. It didn't
happen
like that.
UBL was not a good guy, but when he died, my first thought was, well, great, who's next? Who's coming next? How much worse is the next guy going to be?
Oh, yeah, that's always seems to be the thing. A lot of people, you know, we were talking about Saddam earlier, a lot of people never follow the history back enough to be like, well, you know, we kind of picked this guy. So, you know, we're good.
Right.
We do that in history. We're so historically prone to, well, we're going to throw this guy in, and then, oh, well, now he doesn't agree with what we're trying to do next year, so, you know, we're going to support the other guy. As long as it's not in our own country, let the bloodshed roll, bro, and the money, too.
In comes the theory that bin Laden was a CIA asset in the 80s.
I could totally see that. The fact that he single-handedly orchestrated 9/11 is also one of those points to me. I say single-handedly within the context of what we've been told, pretty single-handedly.
Sure.
That he pulled all of this off. I mean, if you and I were to go get on a, and here's another thing. Let me just break having brain, you know, your isms. If you and I were on a plane, Blake, let's just say we were sitting in the front row of a plane, right? More close to the front even. And some guys got up with box cutters and some shanks, and they were like, yo, look, we're going to crash this plane into some shit, or whatever they said. I don't care what they were saying. There's a whole plane of us, and we're just going to all die together. I feel like some of us might just have to get cut a little bit for the greater good. Like that part always
is. Let me assure you of one thing.
I feel like we would get
on an aisle. Put me on an aisle and have a terrorist behind me trying to get past me with a box cutter. It's not happening, man. I mean, and I'm not the toughest guy in the world, but it's just not going to happen. Or I'm going to die keeping you away. But it's certainly once I threw the first punch, the whole plane's going to go. And that's what they say happened on Flight 93. But nobody's going to take down a plane with a box cutter if I'm on the plane, and certainly I'm not the toughest guy in the world. I would hope there were plenty of normal grown men that had children back home on all of those planes. You know, let me back up. There are some theories that planes never even existed. That they didn't crash into the Trade Center. I don't believe that. That's a little bit much for me. That, you know, where are all those people then, dude?
An ultra conspiracy where you basically have to take the assumption on then that every single video that it ever came out about 9/11, the conspirators, whoever they may be placing this on, were able to modify that and put a plane in it. And we've just seen so many videos from so many phones and angles, and there's just too much of it to suggest that there were no planes. Now,
right.
That,
there is a video. I'm sorry. There's a video of a guy that's describing the airplane. That describes it as gray, a military plane with like no windows on it. But you know, I mean, he was in shock. You know, who knows? I don't believe that for one minute. I think the planes were definitely crashed into the towers. I mean, obviously.
Yes, I would, you know, I don't think there's any dispute in that. That's one of the only pieces, as a matter of fact, I think we might could all pretty much agree on, is that they did actually hit them. That might be the one fact. I'll go ahead and throw that. I'm just hoping to get around that, but that we can attribute to that right there, man. And I got some other attributions here. We hit the 10-minute mark, and we talked about a little commercial earlier, and I'm ready to get it on if you are.
Let's do it.
All right. guys out there, big supporter of Southeast MMA. Matter of fact, he supplies the current challenger to the 145 featherweight title for Conflict with a lifetime supply of mufflers and other goodies. So I'm going to go ahead and play this commercial from Roy's Mufflers.
Big Roy's Muffler, www.roysmuffler.com. Come on in for the Big Roy's Noisebreaker, a.k.a. the Mark Trader Special. The Trader Special, Megaflame Noisebreaker Muffler, combines an open-style design with OCF roving, reducing back pressure while quieting engine brake noise to legal limits. Those are $99.99 with a one-year warranty. Big Roy's wife, Sharon, will install it on-site. And if you mention Paul, the spinning elbow Teague, quote-unquote illegal, you get a free koozie or keychain. BigRoy.com.
There you have it.
That
from
was
the man
that was,
himself.
That was pretty solid.
Whoa. Let me just say, I may play that on every episode I ever air from now on.
I mean, I'm talking about reducing
that
back
was great,
pressure.
Dude. You murdered it.
I researched that.
You know what was good too was that when I loaded up my commercial music, I didn't label them super well, so I got like three or four, and the one I played was so like Spartan 300-ish that it just was killing it in the background. It was awesome.
And I meant to say, when I said Paul the spinning elbow Teague, I meant to say parentheses illegal. I said quotes just because I was so damn excited.
You were, man. You were killing it. I'm like, I got to step my commercial. I got to step my commercial game up. I got to get on this.
Man, I listen to Howard Stern. I've been listening to Stern since 97, and he does those live commercials. And then, hey, you know, I've been thinking maybe my day will come where I do a live commercial, and today that came.
Dude, and you know what? This is like the seventh, you know, dream of yours that I've been able to be a part of. You know, we know how much you were dying to shave, and I was able to help you with that. And now here we are,
God.
Dude. I'm like weaving these dreams for you, Blake.
Hey, one dream at a time.
That's it. Hey, Blake, I want to thank you seriously, man, so much for spending a whole hour on the show with us, man. I had a great time. Some really compelling arguments that you put forth, and I want everybody to listen, take a couple of minutes out of your day, get your Google on, get your YouTube on, man, check this stuff out. There's a lot more to it, and don't take it from the two baddest dudes that you probably know. You know, look at it for yourself. Blake, you got anything else before we get out of here?
Yeah, just want to read. Can I talk about MMA for 30 seconds?
Dude, this is War of the Words, bro.
This weekend, USFFC, whatever number you want to insert there, is at the TD Center in Greenville, South Carolina. My BFF, Tanner Cicino, is on there. Neil Gray is on there. Rick Pearson is on there. All from the Revolution Hit family. So come on out to the TD Center Saturday night and watch our guys do their thing.
Awesome, man. Yeah, definitely. Big supporter of those guys. Tanner is amazing. Looks great in purple, so make sure to check that out. I've actually got two other guys, John Jader and you know him well, Blake, Jason Hicks. They got a band called I'm a Superhero. We're going to end with a song from them called Rhino Bebop. So we're going to play that on the way out. I appreciate it again, Blake, and we're going to get this jam on. This is I'm a Superhero.
Time.
Yes, sir. I'm a Superhero, Rhino Bebop.
Just wave the sun to say
Again, that's I'm a Superhero, Rhino, Bebop. Really quick before we get out of here, I once again want to thank Blake Grice for joining us for Cerebral Sunday this Sunday. Catch us every Sunday where we talk pretty much anything except MMA with awesome people from our MMA community. We squeezed a little bit in there, but that's all good. Blake Grice is good peeps. Had a great time, man. Check out all this good information. As always, we recommend you go back and check some of our older Cerebral Sundays. We're always talking about interesting topics, whether it's, I think last week we talked about evolution and stuff. So check it out, man. It's great stuff. That's all I got for you. Source Summer Fight Store, ssfightstore.com. You guys out there, you fighters coming up, looking for sponsorship opportunities, getting behind a great company and wearing a awesome logo. Hit those guys up. Check out that fight store. They got a lot of merchandise there as well. Let them know War of the Words sent you. Can't promise it'll do anything for you, but can't hurt.